Well, the government's facing opposition from National and the Green Party over a new bill which aims to clamp down on New Zealanders returning home after being involved in terrorist activities abroad. Green Justice spokesperson Golruz Garaman says it's dog-whistling legislation and could target the wrong people based on dubious overseas intelligence. And Simon Bridges says the bill isn't tough enough and National won't support it beyond the first reading unless the government agrees to several amendments.
I feel a deep sense of duty that we need to support this given that the Green Party isn't, and we need rules in place for the likes of Mark Taylor. All of that said though, I will be strongly urging the government to take these. I think New Zealanders will be less safe if the changes National is recommending don't happen.
That's Simon Bridges, leader of the National Party. The man steering the bill through Parliament is Justice Minister Andrew Little, and he joins me in the Wellington studio now. Morena.
Morena, Charles.
Is there a clear and present danger that requires this bill?
Well, yes, there is, because we know that there are people, certainly in Surrey at the moment, who we know have gone there to either commit or to support acts of terrorism. And given the situation in Syria now, that's been evolving for some time, the chances of them coming back to New Zealand fairly soon is getting higher, and we need to have the means in place to prepare for that.
What's wrong with the suppression of terrorism, Terrorism Suppression Act of 2002 and the Crimes Act? What's deficient about those pieces of legislation that requires new law?
Well, the Crimes Act relates to crimes committed in New Zealand, so we're dealing with people who have committed or supported terrorist acts and therefore violent acts abroad. That's not captured by the Crimes Act, so that won't help. And the Terrorism Suppression Act, I mean, one of the reasons why this has emerged is that we started a review of that act last year because we knew that from 2008 it was found to be completely deficient then. And we've started a review of it, and there is nothing in the Act as it stands at the moment that it will allow us to take action to somebody who, on good intelligence and a good prima facie case, has committed terrorist acts and back in New Zealand would continue to pose a risk to New Zealanders.
That's the point, isn't it? You say good intelligence, but you're going to rely on overseas intelligence sources for it, aren't you? Or do we have our own independent sources, our own internally generated intelligence sources, which will actually improve the information?
Well, we have our own intelligence and the police have their own intelligence. In the end, it's a matter for the police on the basis of the evidence they have and the suspicions they formed to then put that before a high court judge to say, we think this person has done these things that constitute violent extremist acts. We think that this person continues to pose a risk to New Zealand, and we think these measures, these control and restraint measures, are needed to keep New Zealand safe. It'll be up to a High Court judge to decide whether or not that is the case.
Those local sources have been found wanting in the past, SIS, GCSB. They hardly sort of have the most pristine records, do they?
Look, there have been a very small number of headline cases where you might draw that conclusion.
But we're talking about a handful of cases in this instance.
Our agencies and the police and other government departments that have intelligence functions are dealing with a huge number of matters at any time. So, and they're obtaining information from all sorts of sources. In the end, we make an assessment. We know that there is at least one person, because he keeps publicising himself, who is in Syria at the moment. The chances of him coming back to New Zealand are getting higher by the day because of the situation there at the moment.
Do you know that he's coming back?
He's expressed a wish to want to come back.
That was 6 months ago. Do you have more recent information that says he's headed back?
No, but that wasn't the first time that he expressed a wish to want to come back. He said so last year. He said so again this year. Everything points to him doing what he can to get back here. The situation in Syria now is such that the chances of him being released from detention and finding a way back is much greater. He, on any account, appears to pose a risk to New Zealand if he were to cross our border. We need to be prepared for his imminent arrival.
This looks dead in the water, though, unless you get one of the big parties to take you past the first reading. The Greens don't want a bar of it, but Golruz Garaman telling us earlier this morning that perhaps they're open to some compromise. That would suggest diluting the bill. National says we'll take it to the first reading, but we want to then toughen up. And you're saying, well, no, I'm not going to toughen it up. So where does it go from there? What compromises are you willing to make?
Look, there are two aspects that the National Party has talked about that I think do warrant an investigation. One is about identifying particulars. The other is in relation to the provisions in the bill at the moment that talk about the sorts of constraints that might be put on somebody under a control order. There's stuff about reducing the age of applicability to 14 and extended prison sentences for breaches. There's no rationality to that, and I'm not willing to entertain those sorts of things. What I do rely on, however, is the long-standing history that Labor and National, as two big parties in Parliament, have had, is that on national security issues, we don't get into dirty, mucky politicking. We actually act in the best interests of New Zealand. I'm relying on them to continue to act in that way, and I'm confident that they will do so.
So you'll cut a deal with National to get the bill through, get it passed?
Well, I'm equally confident, given the comments that Gold was made this morning, that they are open to a discussion on it. I mean, I've had discussions with the Green Party on it, and indeed the National Party has got a copy of this bill well in advance of its release. They know well what's in it, and I spoke to their Justice spokesperson, Mark Mitchell, about this a month or 6 weeks ago. So none of this has been a surprise. In the end, look, we're at this kind of febrile time of politics in New Zealand at the moment. Tends to happen at the end of the year. Everybody's sort of beating their chests. In the end, when it comes down to issues of national security, there is a good track record of parties in Parliament acting responsibly together on issues of national security. I'm confident it will happen this time.
Will this catch somebody such as, say, the 501s, you know, gangs from Australia, somebody in Australian authorities say, they're a terrorist group, this is a person who's engaged in terrorist activities?
What constitutes a terrorist act is well defined in the Terrorism Suppression Act at the moment, so I don't think there's any confusion about that. There's a very clear distinction between, you know, terrorism that is aimed at creating widespread fear, as opposed to other activity which might be genuine protest or dissent, or just general criminal activity. So very clear distinctions drawn. There is an ongoing review of the Terrorism Suppression Act, and there will be further changes that will be mooted next year. In terms of that issue about criminal elements coming back into New Zealand, we already have the returning offenders management regime. There are some tweaks we can make to deal with people who may not have a conviction but who pose a risk. That is a matter that is still under consideration as well, and we'll no doubt have some proposals for that in the early part of next year.
Somebody texts in and says Section 7A of the Crimes Act gives extraterritorial effect to crimes of terror. Why doesn't that apply?
Well, it doesn't apply. That was established over the events in 2008, and the Solicitor General's ruling there that action could not be taken under the Terrorism Suppression Act. Admittedly, that was in relation to acts on New Zealand soil. But what has been very clear from that time is that the provisions in the Crimes Act are very difficult to apply to activity offshore.
What measures, assurances are you willing to give for people who are actually wrongly detained under your proposed legislation, say, if it passes, and some of you actually, it goes all wrong? We have another instance, say, something like Ahmed Zawi.
The powers of detention are very limited. It's for a limited period of time. This is about control orders, which is about its constraints on, admittedly, on freedom. So there will be some constraints on freedom of movement, constraints on, you know, access to the internet. But this is not about a detention power. It is about, for somebody who poses a risk, for whom or about whom there is evidence they've committed violent extremist acts offshore, being placed under a regime, partly to assess the extent to which they provide ongoing risk, and also where it applies de-radicalisation.
Thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Justice Minister Andrew Little.